I encourage mothers to plead the blood over their children. Fathers, plead the blood over your families, over your job. There's power in the blood. One thing that shame does is shame, which is our unwillingness to forgive ourselves for past failures, past mistakes, grudges we hold against ourselves. Shame separates us from the presence of God, family, and friends. God does not reject anybody. It doesn't matter what sin you've committed. It doesn't matter how horrible you think you may have lived. If you come to God and you open your heart to Him and you say, God, forgive me, He will forgive you. And He will draw you to Himself. But shame many times makes you feel as though you are separated or far from God. Shame will tell you God does not love you. The church does not love you. Your pastor, everything, every relationship in your life, the church, your pastor, your husband, God, every relationship becomes distorted by shame. By your feelings of worthlessness. That's what shame does. It makes you feel worthless. It makes you feel of no value. It makes you feel like you're just a loser. And every single one of us here tonight have had failures in our life. None of us are exempt from failures of our past. Amen. But the Subaru was preaching and he made a statement that was very powerful, and I'm going to pass it on to you. He was talking about the three strikes and you're out concept. How many's ever heard of that? But you see, with God, it's not three strikes and you're out. Because He's the pitcher. And He's not trying to strike you out. He's trying to bring you home. Oh, come on, somebody. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. So shame, though, comes and convinces you that God's trying to strike you out. God's against you. That's why shame must be defeated by your faith in the blood of what Jesus did for you at Calvary. The blood of Jesus is what reconciles us. It first reconciles us back into the right relationship with Him. It reconciles us with our families. How many have found your families to be reconciled because of the blood of Jesus? Amen. Praise God. If it's not reconciled, quit trying to do it on your own. Quit trying to work it out on your own power. Plead the blood. Pray the blood. Jesus can bring reconciliation in your family. You see, when you truly become healed by the blood of Jesus, then you can become an instrument of healing to others. That's why God allows us to go through the things we go through. So we might be more sensitive in reaching out and healing others. You see, a shame-based mentality says, I'm unworthy. Now, I'm not talking about the humility of saying, God, you are so good to me to choose me. This concept that I'm not deserving of God's love. I'm not. That will cause you to actually reject God trying to use you. You see, I might be unworthy because of my sins, but His blood has made me worthy. His blood has brought righteousness into my life. His blood has taken unworthy, undeserving maybe, but unworthy never. Come on, somebody. His blood has made me of great, I'm of such great value. He left His throne in glory and He died for my sins. That's pretty valuable, my friend. Oh, put your hands together and praise Him. Let me tell you why this concept of, oh, I'm unworthy, I'm unworthy, I'm unworthy, is such a farce. Because then you strive to become worthy. And how do you strive to become worthy? Through works. Through your own self-righteousness. Well, I've been going to church so long. Bless God. You know, when I first became pastor here, all kinds of stuff took place. But I scratched my head and I thought, my Lord, where did these people get their teaching from? I'm sorry, I'm just telling you the truth. I've had people that were fighting in church. Wanting to call the police.
And one person comes and say, well, I talk in tongues, as though that qualifies them for me to call a police and put the person in jail.
Hello, somebody. Self-righteousness is as filthy rags. Hallelujah. The only thing that makes me worthy is not the fact I come to church and how and what I... It's the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus. So come on, somebody. Put your hands together and praise Him. Hallelujah. I thank God a bunch of people got straight. Got their theology straight. Got their spirits right. And some people that need their spirits right, they're just not here no more. Hallelujah. Praise God. I guess get right or get left. Hallelujah. That's a song. I remember that old song. Yeah. Really get right, you're going to get left. Hallelujah. Never underestimate the power of the blood of Jesus. I'm telling you, the blood has power. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know what I've done. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know my family. Quit making excuses. Your situation is not special. You are not facing a trial that nobody's ever faced. Now, God, I know you work miracles, but you don't know how bad. My friend, the blood has power. I said, the blood has power. The blood has never lost its power. That blood has the same power as it did on the day of Pentecost. That blood can set free. That blood can deliver. That blood can save. That blood can heal. The blood has never lost its power. Oh, go ahead and praise Him. I've told you before, let me tell you it again. Look at this. Praise God. Amen. In Exodus 12:12-13, I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, notice what He said, I will pass over you. Now who's the one that passed over? It's the death angel. You see, this was the angel of the Lord commissioned by God. God Himself sent the angel to destroy every firstborn in the land. But God knew the principles He set forth. And He knew that not even a death angel from God could cross the bloodline. And so that's why He said, put that blood on the doorposts and up on the header. Because even though that angel had a commission from God to kill every firstborn, when he came to that house and saw the blood, he couldn't pass it. My friend, it's not even devils. Angels from God can't cross the bloodline. That's why the devil can't cross the bloodline. When you plead the blood of Jesus over your family, when you plead the blood of Jesus over your children, the devil cannot cross the bloodline. Oh, come on, somebody praise Him. Hallelujah. Plead the blood over your cars, your homes. Amen. Because the devil cannot cross that. Why is we got to leave things under the blood. The only way the devil can bring condemnation to your life is if you reach back under the blood that's covered that sin and you bring it back up again. Then you empower the devil to condemn you. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not by the flesh, but walk in the Spirit. If you're dealing with condemnation, it's because you pulled something back up that was under the blood. God's not condemning you. He's forgiven you. As long as that blood's covering it, it don't exist. But if you reach back down and bring it back up again, whether it's your sin or someone else, that's the problem with some people. God forgives us, but we don't forgive. We want to make people pay. Let me tell you something. Judge not, lest you be judged. You want to be cruel, you want to be mean, God will judge you the same way. You want to say, well, I won't forgive you. I won't let you go. But guess what, my friend? That's the same way God will deal with you. I don't know about you. I need a whole lot of mercy. Oh, that's why I want to be merciful. That's why I want to extend forgiveness to others and extend love. I don't want God to deal with me in an unmerciful manner. So it's under the blood. Leave it under the blood. Don't bring it back up again when it's convenient for you. This goes good for parents with children. husbands and wives, don't carry that file. You see, let me tell you something. Everybody has strong discussions. I don't care how much you think, let me tell you something. I love this one right here. And I've never one time even thought of divorce. The thoughts never, murder has. But not divorce. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm just confessing, folks. Hallelujah. And there are some times you hear us talking about it, you might think we're about to go after it. But you know what? It's not having disagreements. It's disagreeing fairly. Let me tell you what's unfair. It's when you have an issue in front of you and you leave the issue you're talking and you start dragging things from the past. You're being unfair, my friend. Can I help you? He likes attention. He just wants everyone to know he's back there. Everybody give Brother Jack McCoy a hand. He can't stand 10 minutes without attention. You got to disagree fairly. Which means stick with the issue at hand. Just because you're losing your argument, don't drag in, last year, 25 years ago, and you sit there and got your list 50 feet long, and you drag it in. Let go of the list. Leave it under the blood. God will bless your marriage. God will strengthen your home. Don't pick it up. Don't bring it up. Leave it under the blood, and condemnation will not attack you. Oh, put your hands together and praise Him. If you struggle with shame, if you struggle with the feelings of worthlessness, I know how it feels. I say, before God gave me this revelation and healed me, Brother Otis, there are times I get in the pulpit, literally, and God would use me mightily. People would be healed and things would happen. And I go back to the office of the pastor and sit in the dark and feel like a total failure. I'd sit there and just watch shame. Feel convicted because I fasted 3 days last week, but I should have fasted 4. Shame is the most debilitating issue that Christians deal with. It will take away your power, your faith, your virtue. But the way you deal with shame is understand that Jesus suffered shame so we could be immune from the effects of shame. The very feelings of worthlessness, the very feelings of inability, you're just a failure. Jesus Himself loved that. So we don't have to deal with it. That's why we've got to put ourselves under the blood. We've got to stay under the blood. Without the blood of Jesus, I couldn't live one day. If God's blood wasn't covering me, the judgment of sin would take me out in a second. But thank God, blood. I'm walking covered by the blood of Jesus. The Bible says in Isaiah, He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our face from Him. He was despised and we did not esteem Him. People were embarrassed to be seen or be associated with Jesus. He walked around with the stick. He knows what it means. You think you have raised pressure, not like Jesus had. You think you face pressure on the job, but you see He went through all of that so I would not have to be suffering. But you see, when I try to make myself qualify, when I try to make myself fit in, that's where I get in trouble. But when I rest in the approval of Jesus, that no matter what this world thinks, no matter what anyone thinks, I'm His son, I'm His child. His blood flows through my veins. You can be secure in who you are. Go ahead and praise Him. Shame can make you feel less because you don't have as nice of a house as someone else. Or nice of a car. There's nothing wrong if God blesses you with a nice house or a decent car. That's not, nothing wrong with that. but don't you feel like you're less? Or get bitterness in your heart to start talking, yeah, 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 yeah. Well, I see the nice new car she's driving. Boy, have you seen her house? Why, I tell you what. Now, I tell you what, my friend, God can't bless you because you can't rejoice in someone else's blessing. Oh, come on, somebody. Don't give in to shame. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. Amen. Praise God. Understand, the blood of Jesus covers us. And the very shame we dealt with, the Lord went through it. So we don't have to feel the effects of shame. Amen. Next slide. Jesus can be touched with our struggles against shame. He felt abandoned, forsaken by His Father. That's right. When he was on Calvary, He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? He felt abandoned. He was rejected by His people, His hometown, His elders, His family, and His close, everybody of significance to Him, abandoned Him at Calvary and left Him there bleeding, naked, and shamed. He did that for me. So I don't have to struggle. See, if I choose to try to do it myself, then I'm going to keep bowed in shame. But if I say, thank You for Your blood, Jesus, and I let myself go from the grudge I hold against myself. You see, sometimes you wish, well, I wish I had made this choice right. And there are some that you drive yourself insane over mistakes you've made. You sit there and you think for hours how things would be if you made a different decision. What if I had not done that? What if I had done this? And my friend, quit tormenting yourself. Let yourself off the hook. We've all made mistakes, but God is not such a God that He is so cruel that because you made one wrong turn in life, because you made one bad decision, the rest of your life is destroyed. That's not my God. He is for you, my friend. He wants to take you into His will for your life. He wants to build you. He wants to enhance your life. And you got to believe that and believe that no matter what decisions I've made, good or bad, He can turn good from this bad situation. He can turn this situation around as long as you don't keep making the same dumb mistakes. What's a dumb mistake? I tell you a dumb mistake it is. It's not the first mistake. It's when you make the same mistake again and again and again. After you've been taught, and you've been told, and you're stubborn and self-willed, and you do it your way, and you keep messing things up. That's dumb mistakes. All of us make mistakes. We should learn from them. Grow from them. Amen. Praise God. God will help us. Sometimes you've got to let yourself off the hook. He was falsely accused. Our Lord was called a liar. How many has been called a liar and you knew it wasn't true? Let me tell you something. To me, I don't like somebody telling me I'm lying about something. You want to get me stirred up, you challenge me and tell me I've been dishonest. Come on, somebody, when I know. But you know what? He knows how that feels. He bore that for us. There are some of you here that your honor has been destroyed. Someone's spoken against you, and you can get mad. You can do everything in your power to try to make it right and prove them wrong. God wants you to let it alone. Leave it in His hands. He will vindicate you. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to God and praise Him. Come on, somebody. Give it to Him right now. Just right where you're sitting. God, I give this to You. I'm not going to struggle with it anymore. I'm not going to fight with it. I'm not going to sit here and feel bad about it. I'm not going to hate this person. I'm not going to try and defend myself. Jesus, I give it to You. Come on, I feel God wants to deliver somebody from shame right now. He wants to deliver you from the mindset of shame. He wants to deliver you from the spirit of shame. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. If you hear criticism that has no truth in it, now, most of the time I'll listen to criticism. Because sometimes there's that little thread of truth. That one little thing I can learn from. Yeah. But if I examine criticism. I listen to the person criticizing me. And I know the largest amount of that criticism is balderdash. I don't know what balderdash is. Just complete lies. Just deception. And there might be a little thread there that I need to watch and work on. But I searched my heart and I said, God, search me. Then just forget about it. Don't worry about it. Don't run around trying to tell everybody you can your story. Because you're doing exactly what the devil wants you to do. You're going to get bitter over it. You're going to deal with shame. Instead, if you search your heart, forget it. Learn from a little thread of truth. Just go on. You know, there will always be somebody that will tell you, especially when you're trying to step out and do something great for God, how it can't be done. I heard recently the Chinese proverb that says, he who says it can't be done should not disturb the one doing it. Hello, somebody. Just go ahead and run your mouth and keep saying St. Joe can't have revival. It's a burnover field. But don't bother us. We're having revival. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. So just forget criticism. The devil wants you to run and try to defend your name and make it right. And just let it go. Amen. The Lord, His person was violated. He was physically, mentally, emotionally abused. Think about it. What He suffered was abuse. Why? He did it for you. He was rejected. He was let down and abandoned by all those He had given His life for. That He had done so much for. He knows. That's why He can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He knows what it means to pour His life into somebody and then turn and kiss them on the cheek and sell them for a day's meal. He knows what it means to be betrayed. He knows what it means to have His trust broken. That's why we can rest in Him. That's why we can rest in His Word. Because He will bring us through. He was publicly ridiculed and humiliated. He was exposed naked before all. I'm telling you, when they show you the pictures of Him with His little loincloth, that's not how it was. They stripped Him naked. In humiliation, He hung before the whole world to see. He was accused of pride and called a failure. He was disrespected and treated less than He was. He was the God of glory. And He was treated like a common criminal. And He did that for me. So I would not have to battle these feelings of shame. So I would not have to be worried when people falsely accuse me. I just got to hide in His blood. I just got to find a place of prayer again. I got to get a hold of the horns of the altar and say, God, wash me, search me, try me in the inner parts, Lord, and let me be more like You. I don't got to fight this battle. I can lay my weapon down. I can quit worrying about, well, if so-and-so wouldn't do this, if this wouldn't happen, if they get it right, then I'll be okay. No, as long as I'm all right with You, God, it's going to be all right. As long as I'm in proper alignment with You, Jesus, and my relationship is right with You, it doesn't matter what anyone says or what anyone does. I will overcome through the power of the blood that You shed at Calvary. Put your hands together and praise Him. Jesus was never vindicated. He died an innocent man of all the charges. You remember that? Well, it wasn't right what she said. It ain't right. Calvary wasn't right. But He endured it. I'm talking to someone here today. You've been trying to fight for this and fight for that. Give it to Jesus. Give it to Him. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 For even Christ did not please Himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on Me. My reproach fell on Him at Calvary. Because of your sakes, I've borne reproach. Shame has covered my face. face. You see, one thing we've got to realize as blood bought, to your neighbor and say, I'm a blood bought child of God. Let me tell you what you do when you let the devil put you on the run. You get all flustered about his little distractions and things like that. You put yourself back out for hire. You got to say, devil, I'm not for hire. I've already been purchased by the blood of Jesus. No one can oppose us successfully. It doesn't say that no weapon will be formed. He said, no weapon formed against you shall what? See, sometimes we get bent out of shape because weapons are being formed. We're saying, God, how can this person be fighting me? Hey, you just hang on. The story hasn't been finished yet. I go back and check the back of the book. I don't care what the devil does. He's still going to get thrown in the fire. He still loses in the end. It don't matter what you think he's winning on right now. My God is still a victor. My God is still victorious. Don't sit back. See, some of you are sitting here and you went through situations and it seemed like someone got off the hook for doing something evil. And boy, you think, God, where are you at in all this? God, how could you let this person get away with this? God, make him a crispy critter. Come on, where's the lightning? Where's the fire? Yeah, come on, you're laughing because you know. But you know what? Don't you worry about it. God's judgment wheels grind slow, but they grind fine. Don't get your hands dirty. Don't get bent out of shape. Don't take things in your own hands and say, well, because they did that, well, then I can do this. That's where a lot of self-righteous battle leads a lot of people bloody and dead by the wayside. No one can oppose you successfully, and no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Don't you worry about it. God's for you. He may not be acting as fast as you want him to, but keep right heart. That's why Paul, the wisest man in the world, there's no one ever been, the Bible says, as wise as Solomon. No one will ever be as wise as Solomon. His wisdom is a gift from God. But he said, here's my children. You have struck over me. You're going to talk. Don't even talk when I'm standing right in front of you. It's very disrespectful. Amen. Praise God. Let's lift our hands, Lord, and praise Him. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is what? See, let me just help you with something. A lot of people, they think their righteousness is from their works. No. Your righteousness can only come from the Lord Jesus. You see, our response in the way we live, the holiness standards we have, is our love and our response to the righteousness He's given us. But I'm not righteous because I don't do this and I don't do that, or go here and go there. I don't do all those things because His blood has washed my sins away. And I don't want to desecrate that blood. I don't want to drag the Holy Ghost through a bunch of junk. Come on, somebody. Next slide. God's remedy for depression. Now, I'm going to say something that inevitably someone comes to me and they're really mad. So I guess I'll give my disclaimer beforehand. Well, I don't agree with you. Well, honey, get in line. You're not the first one. But I preach this book. But you know what? Most depression that we face is spiritual attacks. Now, I understand this clinical situation.